in this time and in its place. You know, 5 years from now is a time where we hope that we will have stood up and done something that makes God's love manifest in a city that could really use it. So that is something I'm also hearing. And then also I'm hearing some practical things. More than one person has talked about wanting to shore up our foundation by way of endowment. Many people have talked about the idea of helping this physical plant become stronger and more robust so that we can continue to keep our doors open for those in need. And many people have said, we've got a lot of good things going here. How can we make what is good that much more robust for the future as well? So as you can see, we have a lot of wonderful things that we could continue to grow on, but those are just a few of the things that I'm hearing in the listening sessions. The other word I wanted to give is a word of joy and thanks. This season of onboarding has been sometimes fast and furious, but it has always been amazingly generous because of your hearts. I have had people stop me in the streets. I've had people all around this, like there's always a St. Columban walking around the building somewhere to stop me and say, welcome, welcome, we're so glad you're here. People have asked about my family, Ken and Delia, who are delighted to be as a part of this community. Many of you have also asked, what are Ken and Delia doing? So I'll just simply say again, Ken is a reference librarian at the University of Penn, and Delia is almost 18 at the end of this month and a senior in high school. The one requirement the family had was that I not move Delia during senior year, as you can imagine. So Delia is right now actively looking at colleges, and Ken and Delia still live most of the time in Philly, but we're splitting a lot of the weekends down here between DC and Philadelphia. So a lot of trains and car trips back and forth, but they're doing really wonderfully well thanks to the support of this place. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the unbelievable installation service of a few weeks ago, which I think was the capstone of what you all do with your hospitality and your welcome. I will never forget it as long as I live, and not just because of the service itself, because of all the effort that went into it, from big and small. John and Adam and I had a blast walking through the service. We were laughing our heads off, weren't we, thinking about all the fun we were going to have? To the flowers. Did you all notice the little beehives on the one out here? I did. I loved it. To all of the songs, the music, the prep, everything that was printed that went out. It was all of those things that showed me what this church can do together in worship and praise of God. I think what I have taken it to do, and I mentioned this in from the rector's desk that I wrote a little bit ago, is that it feels like an unbelievably rare chance to have an uncomplicated joy in a complicated time in our history. And on top of it, almost like a flywheel, a push to start a flywheel. For those who are familiar with that concept, a flywheel is a very heavy, heavy piece of machinery that takes a big force to get started. But once it does, it's sustained by all sorts of smaller pushes that keep the wheel generating energy. So in my mind, I'm treating it like the big push of the start of the flywheel, that the Spirit helped us get going, and that every single effort we put into that from here on out is going to keep that joy and that peace and that work of God moving in this place. So it's a chance for me to say thank you, and a chance for me to say I'm so excited to see what the Holy Spirit does next with that amount of energy, joy, and worship. There's a lot more to be said, and I'm very conscious that we have a short amount of time to do it. So I'll say a few things, but let you know that if there is time, there'll be an opportunity for questions at the end of our meeting together. I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you for all those who have given generously to our stewardship campaign. It is going well, even in a very difficult time. That's because of your generosity. Thank you, and thank you to the team that is putting all of that together. As we do our work together, I'm very curious to see what the construction will bring to us in 6 months, less than 6 months now. And you're going to hear a little bit about that in a moment. But I'm also curious about the other seeds for the future that the Holy Spirit is starting to plant, even in this onboarding time. Those seeds that I mentioned from our listening sessions together, how we can keep the outreach emphasis going, how we can grow in our spirituality, and how the Spirit might be asking us to go even further as St. Columba's meets this moment with the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. So we'll have much to talk about in the months to come about those very sorts of goals and seed planting. But for now, I'd love to turn it over for our the rest of the annual meeting so that we can keep doing the business of the church. And as I said, there'll be time for questions towards the end. I would like to invite Sarah Griffin to come up to give us a word about the update on the vestry election process. Oh, Sarah, there you are. Thank you. I didn't see you. And handheld. Thank you.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Griffin. I'm a member of the Vestry. This year, I co-chaired the nominating committee alongside Kate Tatum. Just a little bit of a background on our process. So the nominating committee was comprised of members of the parish from a variety of ministries and services, and we met throughout the summer to select a slate of vestry candidates and alternate delegate candidates for the to represent the church at the annual diocesan convention in January. We're really proud of the slate that we were able to come up with. If you read the e-news, there's information about each of the candidates that was sent out in that, but they represent a pretty good cross-section of our church, and we're really excited about them. We think that they're going to represent our church well. So just wanted to put in a reminder to vote before the end of the annual meeting. The box is out in the common if you haven't had a chance to fill out a ballot yet. Just a thank you to any members of the nominating committee who might be here. We really appreciate the time you put in over the summer to help us out getting this slate together. Unless there are any questions, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be sure to get the results of that election out to you via email. I'd like to invite Mike up to come and give you your treasurer's report. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. No need to grab your wallets or close your purses today. Hopefully this will be good news. I'm Mike Davis. We're going to cover in less than 10 minutes. Don't clap so loud. The state of St. Columba's. I'm going to give you the financial results of the Church and Nursery School. A couple of key high-level results as well. And also trends for the Budget and Stewardship Committee that we've been working on. So the first thing is, for our audit for fiscal year ending June 30, 2025, our auditors gave our financial statements a clean, unmodified opinion. Also, no material weaknesses in internal control or financial statement reporting, and no significant deficiencies. And very importantly, the audit was completed on time. Before I go on, I want to give a shout out to Tori Proctor, our Director of Finance and Administration. When Greg Parker retired a couple years ago, I was like, why are you retiring? This is such a fun job. And now seeing all that Tori has to deal with and how hard she has to work, and we don't have a huge staff, we really appreciate what she's doing. And I promised her I wouldn't make her stand up again, so she. The other thing, the other high level, number here is our net assets increased by approximately $8.7 million. Now, before you start thinking, well, God, I don't need to make a pledge this year. They're doing great without me. Most of that is due to the Live God's Love campaign. And we also had better investment performance and a slight increase in net income. But it's really the Live God's Love campaign. And also, because we're on the accrual method, we have to report all of the pledges as income while the money is still safely in your bank accounts. But we hope that you all honor your pledges, and we will eventually collect the $8.7 million. And we've also made a tremendous start on folks fulfilling their pledges, so thank you very much. I also should mention that the Live God's Love pledges are restricted, so all of that money is going to go to the construction, the Beloved Community campaign, which you'll be hearing about, and also the endowment. So I don't want to belabor, since we don't have much time today, but just a quick overview of the balance sheet and just point out a couple of high-level numbers. As you can see, our cash went up. Again, that's collections mostly from the Live God's Love campaign. The receivables skyrocketed. Again, that's the Live God's Love campaign. And there's a line for ERC. Last year, we booked it, but we didn't get the funds from the Internal Revenue Service. I'm very happy that that line is flatlined. We did get the money, so that's a tremendous benefit to the church. Everything else I won't cover today, given the time, but just also a quick look at the income statement. Again, you'll see the contributions have skyrocketed given the Live God's Love campaign. Tuition is slightly lower from the nursery school. Again, another strong year in investment income. And along with the employee retention credit, we received $144,000 in interest. So that money is all going to good use, and we're happy that we were able to receive it. I'll just mention the expenses briefly on the income statement, mostly because the line where it says the church, we were actually able to reduce our cost, and that's due to the tremendous work of the staff. We were able to find ways to save money again this year, and so kudos to them, and we really appreciate that because, as you know, costs are going up across the board, and the fact that we were able to do that is tremendous. Now on to a little bit of a trend analysis, and again, this is a different way of looking at it. You can see total expenses over the last 4 or 5 years have pretty much stayed flat in spite of all the inflation. And for the most part, we've been able to keep up with our total revenues. And our net income, again, this year is really spiked. But to me, looking at this, there are a lot of hidden miracles in these graphs that enable us to cut these expenses and meet our budget, and I won't cover them today, but in spite of all the work, there are a lot of wonderful things that happened, including many donations by those of you in attendance. So that's a tremendous thing. Also, and I've never particularly liked this chart, but it is helpful and it should give you comfort. Our debt to equity ratio this year is 11.5%. Usually you want to keep it under 25%, and so we're well under that amount. Again, and I keep repeating this, but again, part of that is due to the pledges from the Live God's Love campaign. But we have been seeing a trend down regardless of that. So we're pleased with that. And then the liquid unrestricted net assets, or LUNA, that is the amount of money that the church could survive if not another dollar came through the door. To this day, I still don't know how they came up with that, because it always seems like we need more and more funds. But that's a tremendously strong number, particularly for a nonprofit and a church. So usually, if you're like 3 to 6 months, you're doing great. So that is a tremendous thing for the church. Also, I wanted to point out kind of the trend line for our stewardship pledges. As you can see, since 2020, we have had a trend line down in the number of households giving, but we've also seen an increase in the amount of giving. And what that means is, although fewer people, partly due to the pandemic, have been attending church, the people who have been coming have been tremendously faithful and generous with their funds. And so we've been able to do quite well in spite of the decline in the number of pledges. And we're hoping now that we're out of the pandemic, we have a new rector, we're going to be able to see that trend line go up. I was very pleased today when I was sitting over here at the 9 a.m. service, and I saw like 7 little kids having a great time, actually. And from our analysis, we're seeing that the age of the church and those who are trending older. So it's really great to see from We Worship and kids attending the 9 a.m. service that we're still drawing families. So we're looking forward to that number going up. And we also want to remind everyone that 76% of all the funds that the church collects comes from your pledges each year, so those are tremendously important, and we really appreciate those. There's one other slide I added this year, because what I've learned from St. Columba's is that it's a church that believes you should go big or go home. And as many of you know, we've struggled to meet the stewardship pledge the last few years. But that doesn't really tell the whole story. I mean, hopefully we'll have a great year this year. But when you look at the totality of the church, we've had 4 campaigns, and the church has raised approximately $12 million over the last 3 to 5 years through those campaigns. One of the hardest things I've had being the treasurer is keeping track of them. There's Live God's Love, there's a Leap of Faith. And many of you have contributed to all 4 of those campaigns. And these campaigns have really helped the church in immeasurable ways. So I just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you who gave to the Leap of Faith campaign, which helped us get through the pandemic and cover some budget gaps. Those of you who contributed to the NAVE campaign, which enabled us to renovate the NAVE during the pandemic. And also, all of you have given to the Live God's Love campaign. And I know some of you are thinking that the next campaign should be Give Me a Break campaign. But these numbers are as of June 30th. And so they've come down. We're hoping to wrap up the Leap of Faith and NAVE repair campaigns very soon, within the next couple of months. So that will just leave the Live God's Love campaign and also the annual stewardship campaign. So perhaps a little bit of relief is on the way. And also the pledge receivables, again, that is of June 30th. That's continued to come down, and we're hoping to have all of the pledges in by the end of the year. So let me conclude with this. If you've pledged, thank you very much. If you haven't pledged, please do. If you can please increase your pledge, please do that. And I didn't have this before, but I wanted to put it this year. If for some reason you can't pledge this year, I know some folks are going through a real hard time. Please continue to pray for us. Please continue to bless us with your presence. And if you can just give, even if it's $100, what really keeps me up at night is not the amount of the pledges, because I've seen that God will provide. But what keeps me up at night is we'd like to see the number of pledging households go up. So whether it's $100 or whether it's $100,000, every household counts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both. You, Mike and Tori, you just have done an incredible job. Thank you. Gina and Andrew.
Wonderful. Well, good morning, everyone. I think as you can see, our funds are in really good hands with Mike and Tori. Thank you guys for all of this. We really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's been contributing. I just wanted to say a word about, first, about our transition. I think hopefully you're all feeling that this transition is going really, really well. I speak on behalf of me and Andrew, the wardens, and also the vestry, the staff, and our transition committee that's been supporting Hillary in her first couple of months. And I think we're all feeling like everything is going incredibly smoothly because of all the work many people have done to support Hillary, and especially because of Hillary for all the efforts she has put in, all the listening she is doing, et cetera. So we're very excited about that. We're also excited about those seeds that she's planting for the future and that flywheel that she talked about. And we're really excited that Hillary recognizes there were a lot of projects that we started even before she got here and that we just raised money for, and that we are moving those forward extremely well under her leadership. So today we wanted to give some updates on some of those things. One is the property renovation, which Andrew is going to talk about, and then the other is the Beloved Community Fund that Lauren Counts, I think she's here, there's Lauren, is also going to talk about. So I'm going to hand it over to Andrew.
Thank you very much, Gina. It's great to see so many people here today. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the property and the projects that we have underway there. Many of you will have seen the note from the rector's desk just a week or so ago. If you read that, you're going to hear a lot of it again, I'm afraid. As a reminder, the vestry directed that $7.5 million was going to be spent to implement the projects in the master plan to make improvements across the property. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but I'm happy to provide them to anyone that's interested. So far, if you look around, nothing has changed, but a lot of work has been going on to make sure that we do a good job and an effective job, and that we do work that actually equips us for the future. Most importantly, we've identified a project manager who's going to work with us for the duration of the project. He has a very calm and thoughtful demeanor that makes everyone feel a great deal better about the very large amount of work that remains to be done. We've hired an architectural firm and a landscaping firm. We're working with them to finalize plans and to evaluate what we need to do for permitting, which will be a big deal. We are working to identify a general contractor who will be critical for the work. Two candidates for that are preparing detailed budgets, and we expect to select a general contractor by late November or early December, so very soon. Once we have a contractor, they will draw up a work schedule, and assuming that the permitting process goes as we hope it will, construction will begin in mid-April or early May. So as Hillary said, about 6 months from now, that work will last about 12 months. So we know that this is exciting, but we also know that it causes challenges for some people within our church. They're concerned about how the work will affect what they do, how they use the church. We're working very, very closely with a number of people around the church to keep that conversation going. We ask for your patience and flexibility. Once we know more about the details and how the work will actually roll out, we'll be able to be more precise. But until then, we want to keep those lines of communication going. And in particular, the church is committed to minimizing disruptions to the nursery school and all of our friends at the nursery school, and we're working with the school leadership to navigate the construction. We know that it's a tricky thing for them. We want to make sure that we do the best for everybody. Many people, including some of those I see here today, are working hard on this project. But in particular, I'd like to call out Charlotte Hart and Nate Hammond. They are the co-chairs of the Property Development Task Force, and they are really doing a fantastic job. It's a very big and complicated project, and we're really grateful for their leadership on that and for everybody that works on that task force. We're also working on Fletcher House. Some of you will be familiar with Fletcher House. It's the house that stands there. I always get turned around, which has been vacant for some years. The Vestry created a Fletcher House Task Committee to look at the best uses of the Fletcher House space, specifically looking at affordable and workforce housing for that space. That's a complicated project, more complicated than we had thought even 6 months ago. The task committee has been meeting and is working to address two obstacles to building a multi-family unit on that space, one of which is the existence of a heritage tree. There's a tree over there that qualifies for heritage status. And the second is the question of zoning and zoning relief. They're working very hard. The group that's been working on that has been working on that project for years now, does an incredibly good job, very patient and thoughtful, but it is complicated. The Vestry remains engaged and supportive. Hilary is up to speed, and she's working very closely with the task force. So, even though you do not see anything at the moment, in a year's time when we meet for this, we hope the work will all have been done. Touch wood and with God's will. And so thank you to everybody that has pledged to support this work, and also to the many, many people who are working on different aspects of this. It's really a complicated and big effort, and we really have great hopes for ourselves. Thank you very much.
All right, Lauren, would you join us up here? Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Lauren Counts. I am a member of the Anti-Racism Task Force. I'm also a member of the Stirring the Waters Ministry. And one of the important efforts of the task force in the past year, and has been noted in the Capital campaign, is the creation of the Beloved Community Fund. And just a reminder, the purpose is really aligned with our striving to be a more just and anti-racist church, to create a fund that establishes funds to enable parishioners to establish partnerships and grow in their faith across racial lines, and take steps towards repair of historical harms caused by systemic racism in the region. So the fund is available over several years. We've established a $600,000 amount based on the stewardship campaign, the Live God Love, Live God's Love campaign, and expect to have between $100,000 and $150,000 available for 2026. The application round is open. You can find the application on the website at that link. And you can also send an email, which we're monitoring, to belovedcommunity@columba.org. The expected range of grants is between $50,000 and $100,000, but certainly lesser amounts are welcome. So just quickly on the eligibility criteria. So really looking for that projects that lean into the just and equitable society. It could be in a number of areas: housing, health, home ownership, education, employment. We're not looking to dictate. It's more of a creative partnership, innovation, opportunity for those that are applying. There does need to be a St. Columbus parishioner sponsor, a ministry sponsor, and parish participation in the project. And we accept applications from both individuals and organizations registered as nonprofits. Individuals can present, you know, a project idea with a budget, or organizations, again, with a project and a budget. And they should operate in this general metropolitan area. So that's all I have today, but applications are already coming in. I can say we have our first application. We're very excited about that. We have a beloved community fund committee that meets monthly. Mike's on the committee, as well as Keisha, Christina McAllister, Kirsten Turk, and Ann Murphy from Stirring the Water. So we welcome questions. And again, if you have questions, just send an email to the email that was posted, or approach one of us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Now we want to just recognize a few people who are either moving up or moving out. And I wanted to start by inviting three people who have been on the vestry for the last few years to stand. I see Josh Wilson, Jane Ward, and Ryan McNavage. Are you guys here? This has been a complex time to be a member of the vestry. Some of these folks served through COVID, when we made a lot of really consequential decisions, including the decision to renovate this nave and to figure out how we are going to manage through a pandemic. All three of these people were deeply involved in our rector search process, which, let me just say, took a lot of extra time as vestry over the last few years. And each one of them has been extraordinarily thoughtful and represented all of you so well. So I just, please join me in thanking Jane and Ryan and Josh for their service. We're going to make sure they stay hydrated or caffeinated with a little gift. And now I'm going to turn it over to Andrew to recognize a few more folks.
Thank you, Gina. This is stepping up and stepping out. There's a huge number of people that are involved in making this church work in many, many, many different ways. And some of them are stepping into new roles this year, or are stepping out of the roles where they've served with great faith and energy for some years. So on the healing ministry, please, we'll do applause at the end rather than doing each individual, because otherwise we will be here for days. There's such a wonderful group here. Ryan Heisen and Gabby Herdershey-Hunter are stepping up for the healing ministry. Stacey Murphy and Chris Luckett are rolling off the Youth Council, and Jim Regan has joined the Youth Council. Hal Davis is stepping down from Wednesday Night Supper leadership. I hope we'll still see Hal at the Wednesday Night Supper. George Canizaro is stepping down, and Patty Jensen is stepping up as chair of the Community Engagement Ministry Council. Thanks to all of them and the many, many others that I'm sure that I've inadvertently left out. So many people do such wonderful things at St. Columbus. If you're here, any of those people, stand, please. And please give them a round of applause.
Friends, this is your chance for questions, comments. I'll do my best to answer. If not, I have some incredible friends to help. Yes, please, let me bring this over to you. Oh, okay, I'm gonna help over here first. And if you'll say your name too, please.
My name is Janet Pepper. My question is, one of the groups that wasn't mentioned was the water ministry, and they're a very important ministry too, because they help not only feed the homeless, but they allow them to take showers and wash their clothes.
Absolutely. We love our water ministry. I've had the delight of being able to join with them on one full day of service so far. I worked the lines and everything, and was tremendously, tremendously impressed by the way that we are not just providing water and food, but true community. So thank you. Yes. Please.
Hi, I'm Susanna Barnett. And thank you so much for this great presentation. It's great. Except I feel like I must have blinked and missed something, because it was my understanding that we were not moving forward with building a multifamily home on the Fletcher House area. So I'm kind of pro historic tree and pro zoning laws right now. So is this absolutely the path that we're going down? Is there just
is I'll that, start and then you can fill
is
it.
That signed and sealed?
Thank you so much for that great question. Nothing is signed and sealed yet. In fact, as you heard mentioned, we have this incredible committee that is dedicated to finding the best and highest use for that piece of property, but also the mission that can be done with it. We are still very much in discernment. We're still trying to talk with our community, not just the governance side of our community, but our fellow neighbors as well. But we do hope that whatever we do will be a marker for justice and peace as far as we have put forward in our long-term plans, as well as the goal of Live God's Love campaign.
And I do hope we're thinking about our future generations as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, if something to add, sure.
Just to add to that, Susanna, from the perspective of the vestry, so just to remind everyone, we had a master planning committee that finished up almost 2 years ago now, that their recommendation to the vestry was that the highest and best use of that property would be housing, and they put together a really great model for how we might be able to do mixed income housing there. The vestry at the time realized there were many, many things that would need to be worked out before we could make a final decision about what actually would happen there. So we reaffirmed that vestry over a year ago, that was what we wanted to continue the process with, and there's been a small amount of money of the capital campaign set aside to do the work to continue to investigate, and that is now ongoing. And the vestry did commission this group to continue investigating. As Andrew mentioned, it's a complex project, so there are definitely no decisions made yet. I actually see Elizabeth back there. I just noticed Elizabeth. Hopefully I'm Taylor, who's leading this. So we are in that process right now, and we will continue to keep you all informed about where we go, and at the right moment, the vestry will make a final decision about what happens there when we have all of the information. So thank you for the question.
Thanks. This is why Gina is here. This is yes, please, let me walk this around. Thank you. Thanks.
Hi, maybe I was out of the loop, but I saw the new plaque in front of the church this morning.
I know.
And I wondered if you could talk about it.
Absolutely.
And also maybe talk about if we could ever repay this money.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So if you all have not seen it, I highly recommend going outside to these glass doors right over here, and you'll see on the outside column the new truth-telling plaque that begins with a quote from the Gospel of John, reminding us that the truth will set us free. It stands in memorial for so much of the listening work and the truth-telling and reconciliation work that you all have already begun and continue to do as a community by reminding us about the truth of our history here and the gentrification and the way that this particular church sadly has benefited from slavery. All of that on that beautiful beautiful new plaque, which truly do go and see it, has just been installed. I think it was 3 weeks ago. I think it's been put in. We are hoping, especially probably around the time of Lent, to do a proper prayer service to really install it, as it were, and wanted to let the community get to see it and to be stirred by it in the meantime. So many more conversations will come from it. But yes, please do go out and take a look at it. It's a stirring memorial to the way that we are not only telling the truth about our history, but using it as a charge to go forward in our continued work to be an anti-racist church. Thank you for highlighting it. Yes.
Maybe just one more to your second question, and Lauren would probably know more about this, but I believe one of the proposals that is circulating for the Beloved Community Fund would be in partnership with St. George's.
That's right.
So that's something that's being discussed right now.
Yeah, excellent. I think we have time for just one more really brief one. Yes. Can you make your way there, or should I pass it on down? Okay, great.
Courtney Schaefer, new member. Just a quick, for those of us who are new to this, is there a place we can see what's coming with this construction? Kind of get us excited. So you all probably work really hard and know it really well, but the rest of us, some of us might not.
I love this question. Can we see it? Andrew has words on this.
In your mind's eye. But soon, we are hoping to have three-dimensional renderings as we move forward with the architectural firm. So, yes. Certainly, if you drop me a line, we can chat afterwards. We can send you all the details of the process that went into this last year, the work that's been approved and agreed. But in terms of actually being able to see the renderings, that'll be very, very soon. And so we're already looking forward to that.
I know it's tantalizing. The beautiful thing is that we are this close from giving you a really long update of this exact sort of thing. So, yes, if you'd like the preliminary details such as they are now, please do contact Andrew. But soon, you're going to really get a fulsome, exciting update with renderings, etc. Thank you, friends. That's all we have time for. So let's close with a prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, hear our prayers for this parish family. Strengthen the faithful, arouse the careless, and restore the penitent. Grant us all things necessary for our common life, and bring us all to be of one heart and mind within your holy church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you all. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.